Let's take our Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn on over to Isaiah 53.
Yeah, good.
Before I read from over here, I got several things I'd like to say. Appreciate you praying for us today. I didn't make an issue out of it, but I did let some of the folks know here today that we come up to stay the night last night, and yesterday early I had a man that I've been friends with about 25 years, married him and his wife years ago, and got a good friendship with him, and he asked me, he said, he called me yesterday morning, let me know that his mom died, and he asked me if I'd come preach at funeral. And, you know, God's called us to preach. And I told him, I said, well, we're up in Jamestown and we're going to stay. I said, but if you'll let me pray about it for a minute, I'll call you right back. I said, but I think I will. And as soon as I prayed about it, I thought about calling the man and asking him his advice. I'm just going to tell you what happened.
Go ahead.
Ain't nothing huge. Seems like if God ever deals with me on my inner man, it's always straightening me out.
Right. Me too.
And I thought, well, I'm going to call him and ask him what he does when he's in meeting and this and that. And, you know, it's kind of the first time that's happened, a couple things, you know, going on in the meeting. And the Lord said, why don't you talk to me about it?
Right.
He said, you just go up there, you stay the night, you get up in the morning, you go preach up funeral for them folks. And that's what we did. So we've been on the road a lot today, but I do want to say this. Appreciate everybody prayed for me. Everybody that I asked to pray, amen. God, the only thing could have made it any better if somebody had gotten saved. And we had good liberty, and I thank you for praying for us. And I want to say thank you, preacher, for letting us come this week. It's been a blessing. Amen. I mean that from the depths of my heart. And I appreciate the courtesy of this church tonight. It's been a blessing to be up here with y'all this week. I mean that. We want to say thank you for the room there last night. Thank you for the offerings. Praise God. They sent us home some homemade cinnamon rolls last night. Amen. I said thank God for that. Hallelujah. Amen. And I appreciate the opportunity to work with Brother McBride and in these services here. And I hope and pray we've said something that's been a help to you. That's our desire. We didn't come up here to hurt nobody. I was thinking about something that we preached a little bit on Monday night. I'm not your pastor. And there was a couple things, you know, we ventured off and felt like God wanted us to. And don't feel like I owe an apology for that. But, you know, you can make mistakes, but you can get those things right. Amen. We've all got mistakes somewhere. I mean, everybody. We've got mistakes. We've made them. And so it's just it's our heart's desire that we just go further on with the Lord. Let God work on us. Let God knock things out of our lives and incorporate things into our life. And I understand tonight where I am as far as being in Christ and those things. I understand not all too well. I can read Ephesians, they six chapters, and those first three, he deals with doctrine. But I'm telling you, those last three, he deals with duty. And how we're to conduct ourselves. He's talked about how we're to walk. That's every day. And you can be saved and be carnal. And they're babes in Christ. And, you know, Paul even told him, he said, there's some things I'd like to talk to you about, but I can't. You're not able to bear it. I was talking to somebody about something the other day, and there's something they had shared, and boy, it caused a dust up. And you ever had a dust up?
Yeah, brother.
Amen. And I said, I don't know if that's really that profitable for you to venture off down that road. I don't know. I believe with all my heart in standing for what's right. Nobody believes in that no more than I do tonight. But you better pick your battles wisely. You need to make sure it's a hill worth dying on.
Yep.
If it ain't a hill worth dying on, brother, now you can disagree with this. Somebody can disagree.
Go ahead.
And you can straighten me out at the back door, you know, whatever. But I'm just telling you, some hills ain't worth dying on.
That's
I mean, they're just not.
Right.
And there's some that are. But I appreciate this church tonight, and I thank you for praying for us today. And he said this, don't turn over here, but 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and he made this statement, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sorry, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And you got to understand tonight, your prayers, this is what God put on my heart, just to share with you as we get ready to preach tonight. Your prayers may be somebody else's preservation.
That's right, brother.
Your prayers may be somebody else's preservation.
Yep.
Standing in the gap, making up the hedge.
Yes, sir.
Paul, he told Timothy, he said, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Yep.
For kings and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life.
Right.
In all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But he didn't stop there. For there is one God.
That's right.
And one mediator between God and men. Not Mary, brother.
No, sir.
It's the man. It's not the Pope.
Right.
The man.
Yep.
Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Who gave himself a ransom for all.
Yes.
Tonight, all still means all.
That's right.
I don't know what it means in Fentress County, but in Grundy County, it means all.
That's
amen.
Right.
Hey,
here, brother.
Amen.
Yep.
Well, I say hallelujah. Well, I want to say this also. Got a lot to say, don't I?
Go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I sure do appreciate Mount Zion Baptist Church, man.
Yes. What a blessing.
And I love my people.
Yep.
I love my people. I mean, they could, you know, it's 2 hours, right over 2 hours one way, and they hear me all the time, and they didn't have to come tonight. I'm sure they could have stayed home and done whatever, but I do appreciate them being here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Privileged to pastor such a group of great people, and I thank them for making the journey up with us tonight. All right, Isaiah chapter number 53, if you'll turn over there with us, stand with us just for a moment.
Thank God.
Pray for me that I mind the Lord tonight.
Yes.
That, a lot of things on our heart, but I don't want to. A preacher told me when I was younger, or heard a man say it, he said, when you go to feed the cow, and don't get defended right here.
Go ahead, brother.
He said, but when you're feeding cattle, you don't empty the whole barn on them. You give them enough to eat for one meal and you go on. Amen. But preachers, we're notorious, boy.
Yeah.
Preachers are notorious for,
yeah,
amen, preaching long. And I don't want to do that. Somebody said the greatest lying words of every preacher is, I'm about done. Amen. Yeah. I don't want to do you that way tonight. All right, Isaiah chapter number 53. What a chapter.
Right.
What a chapter. What a pinnacle. What a mountain peak.
Yep.
What a citadel that lies here in this Old Testament.
That's
a
right.
Citadel. Boy, old Satan's tried to batter it down.
Oh, brother.
And but she's still standing strong tonight.
Thank God.
Amen.
Praise God.
I say hallelujah. Isaiah 53. What a chapter. Well, he said in verse number 1, I'm going to read this whole chapter. It's just 12 verses, so stay with us. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, thank God.
Yep.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, verse number 6 is where we're going to preach from tonight with the help of the Lord. So please pray for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who should declare his generation? There's three questions in Isaiah 53, and that's the last one. For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied.
My God. Praise the Lord, preacher. Yes, sir.
God wrote satisfied.
Amen.
Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Thank you, and go ahead and be seated. Let's bow our hearts and heads for prayer this evening. Our Father, as we bow before your throne tonight, I appreciate, God, this good place and these good people. And I ask you, Lord, to please bless them. I pray, God, that you'd give them, dear Lord, strength for the journey. God, somehow tonight, when we be as Elijah of old, find a cake baked before us this evening, cruise the water at her head. Lord, there's a long journey left. There could be a long journey left in front of us. And I pray that you'd help us, give us something, God, to sustain us for these days and hours that's coming up. Lord, I don't want to be, as Jeremiah said, if the footmen weary you, what are you going to do when those horsemen come out of those stalls? God, you said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And God, I pray tonight, God, you said that you would that men always to pray and not faint. I think praying will keep us from fainting along this way. And help us, God, tonight to lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience this race that is set before us. We don't want to faint in our minds tonight, Lord. So help us to keep looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. I ask you, God, to please use us tonight. God, I'm nothing. God, I pray this evening, Lord, you'd hide us behind the cross. Lord, help us to make much of you. Lord, I pray, God, that when we leave this place, Lord, we'll be able to say, I saw no man save Jesus only. Yes. Please, God, grant it to be so. Yes. God, they can live without me, but God, we can't live without you. So I ask you, God, to help us this evening. Lord, you're a good God. There's none like unto you. I need your help. I pray for your grace. I ask you, Lord, to please manifest yourself this evening. In Jesus' blessed and precious name we pray, for thy glory and honor's sake. Amen. 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 Well, I'll be honest tonight. I really don't want to keep you real long. And a lot of things we could say. When the Lord first gave me some thoughts on this message, I've preached it. I'm like the preacher said the other night. Amen. We sometimes God will give us something and we'll preach it, try to squeeze all the juice out of it, and then we'll come back and God will add to it and God will take away from it and so on and so forth. But when God gave us this message, I sat down and just tried to really meditate, and I jotted some things down, and they've always been a help to me and just a reminder of the potency of this great chapter, the influence of what God had to say here in these verses. But I never really did have a title for the message until tonight. And I want to preach on this subject with the good help of God. There is a way out. There is a way out. Now you may find yourself tonight in this place trapped in sin and in iniquity and the quagmire of sin. And I'm telling you, God has given man an escape from wrath and from the judgment of Almighty God. We're admonished in the New Testament to flee from the wrath which is to come. And we're also told in another place and over in the book of Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing. But Romans chapter number 3, he said there's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no fear of God. And he said in Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They're not interested in it. They're not interested in correction. They're not interested in how the Word of God stands contrary to man and his bent will to do wrong and break God's law and break God's commandment. And there's nothing wrong with the law of God. What the problem is tonight is inside of me and you. We're not able to measure up with it. And he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's none that can attain unto that mark. It's out. Hey, you may outjump me, but we all come short of it. You may say, well, I'm not that bad, but I'm telling you now, if you've never been saved, amen, hey, you're condemned already. You're already condemned. And we've talked about that. We've preached about that. Me and Brother McBride have labored that point this week. But tonight, there is a way out. Now, I understand for the child of God, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but also with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But you may be sitting here tonight and maybe God's dealt with you. Maybe God has drawn you and God has wounded you. And you've come up with a myriad of excuses and sundry ideals why you can't be saved. But there is a way out. You say, and I tell you, I believe this on my heart. I've dealt with this on visitation. Somebody, I'm trying to win them to the Lord, trying to talk to them about their soul and so on and so forth. And they say, well, preacher, I'd get saved, but I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. Now this may be the wrong technique, but this is what I tell them. You're going to mess up. I mean, I'm just honest. Hey, amen. Just because you get saved don't mean you're going to be perfect. But I'm telling you, I got a King James Bible full of illustrations tonight of different men that failed God, but God did not throw them away. God did not cast them off. God did not abandon them in the midst of their failures and in the midst of their struggles and the midst of their frailty. I'm telling you, friend, God stayed with them and God continued to work in their life. I sure am glad, thank God tonight, that Philippians chapter 1 is still in our Bible. I'm being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Thank God unto the day of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. For we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not going to throw the clay away. We sing about it. We talk about it. And things of that nature. Testify about it. But I'm telling you, I mean, you look at the life of Peter. He's chopping men's ears off. Stay with me now. He's chopped a man's ear off. He comes to God in repentance. Come on, and we find him preaching one of the greatest messages, brother, that's ever been preached. These fellas, they'll print these books, greatest sermons ever preached. And they'll never have Acts 2 in there. Have you ever noticed that? What in the world, brother? Amen. I mean, you ought to have Pentecost sermon in there. We're talking about 3,000 getting saved. I said 3,000. I didn't say 3. I didn't say 30. I didn't say 300. I'm telling you, thank God that there's 3,000 saved that day. Hallelujah. 3,000 saved. Hallelujah. Bless his good name. As far as I'm concerned, Acts 2 ought to be in the greatest sermons ever preached. Amen. But we find here in Isaiah there is a way out. Isaiah has told us here of the sufferings of our Lord and the great price he paid and the sacrifice that was given for mine and your transgressions. Pilate examined him over and over, and he said, I find no fault in this man. If there's anything me and Pilate could agree on, it'd be that right there. I probably couldn't agree with Pilate on a whole lot, but I can say amen to that. Find no fault in this man. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we, can you imagine that? For that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Well, there's three types of imputation when you study the Bible. And I didn't plan on preaching on this. Just stay with me. Amen. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God imputed Adam's sin to all of mankind. When Christ died on Calvary, all of man's sin was imputed to Christ on the cross. You say, why would you say that? Because the Bible said that. He tasted death for every man. Amen. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't have an ounce of Calvinism in me. Amen. I despise Calvinism, brother. I'm not part of that frozen, chosen crowd. Amen. Thank God I believe in a whosoever will salvation. I believe, thank God, he tasted death for every man. Oh, yes, friend. I said, hallelujah. I believe, amen, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe, thank God, he tasted death for every man. Hallelujah. Adam's sin is imputed to man. Man's sin is imputed to Christ. But when you get saved by the grace of God, his righteousness is imputed to you. Woo! Hallelujah. Son alive. I'm starting to feel better now. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, he imputed his righteousness to me and you. Put it on our account. We come to this text here in verse number 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can I share something with you about Isaiah 53? I'm trying to weigh this out before I get into it. But when you look at this chapter, and I'll get down to verse number 6, this is the primary verse. Don't feel like God really had me deal with much of these others, but I'm telling you, Isaiah 53 stands out as one of the highest peaks of a long mountain range.
That's right.
It shines ever so brightly as though it were one of the handful of stars in the blackest of nights. Mm-hmm. Its fragrance surpasses that of most flowers. It is one of the fairest of all the ladies in the kingdom. It is a treasure unveiled with few peers. I'm talking about Isaiah chapter number 53.
Yep.
It brings hope and dispels gloom. It gives victory over vice and compassion over condemnation. It is refreshing as an oasis in a desert, and it is reliable as John 3:16. I'm talking about Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, we see a picture of man and his dilemma and the peril of man and his destruction. And then there's the pardon of man and his deliverance in Isaiah 53. It is a pearl of great price. It is a ruby in a world of rubbish. And it's a purest gold in a world of perishing gloom. It can bring peace to the weary, promotion to the wayward, and pardon to the wanderer. Thank God, I'm glad there's a way out tonight. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. It's a citadel in the king's palace. It's one of the grandest flowers in the master's garden. And it is one of the greatest monuments in all of his royal court. I'm talking about Isaiah chapter number 53. Its worth is priceless. Its message is clear. Its words are worth studying. Its depths haven't been plumbed. Its reach is to all of mankind. Its theme is salvation. It brings hope despite condemnation. And it lifts us out of separation and tells us of Christ and his justification. The devil hates it. The world needs it. And the saints need to rejoice over it. I'm talking about Isaiah chapter number 53. Reveals mankind's disgrace and sinfulness, but thanks be unto God, it unveils God's grace and substitutionary sacrifice. P.P. Bliss had it right when he penned the words of this immortal hymn. And I want to slow down. I want to give you this. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners. Do you ever see yourself as ruined? Brother, if you ain't ever seen yourself as ruined, I don't know that you've been to Calvary.
Right.
I don't know if you could be redeemed, that you're redeemed tonight. Ruined sinners. See, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. They to behold me not a physician. And when a person sees where they're at, and their place between them and God, and they're at variance with him, and they're at enmity with heaven, I tell you, friend, you're in a good place to be born again. But you got to realize you're a sinner. Ruined sinners to reclaim. And listen to what he said. Hallelujah. There's an exclamation point right there. I reckon you can get excited when you say an exclamation point. That's what they taught us in English, anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bless his name. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Boy, it got the best of old Bliss. He backed up and said, hallelujah. What a Savior. Well, he pinned off these, listen, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement. Can it be? And he takes a minute and he backs up and he looks around and surveys this issue and says, hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I'm glad I know him. I thank God. I'm glad I turned to him. Amen. Can I give you at least three thoughts this evening that God's put on our heart? There's three things, and I want to explore them just for a moment. Number one, his compassion is undeniable. Number two, his cross is unlimited. And number three, his converts ought to never be unthankful. But if you'll stay with me, I'll just give you these. I'm going to move on tonight. His compassion is undeniable. Yes. The Bible said this in the book of Lamentations. Let me turn over here and find it real quick. Chapter number 3, the book of Lamentations. He said, and I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. But I tell you, you need to turn that Fox News off. You need to get rid of Newsmax. And God help us if we're watching CNN. Amen. I hope that's all right if I throw that in there. But anyway, amen. And get rid of it. Just turn away from all that and get off of Facebook. Amen. And just sit down and go outside somewhere to find you a log out in the middle of a pine thicket and sit on it and think and read that, amen, Lamentations 3. And when you begin to recall these things to mind, see, we look out at the world and everything they're saying and everything they're echoing and everything they're hollering. And I tell you, brother, you'll lose hope. You'll lose joy. You'll get discouraged. You'll get down and out. But I'm telling you, thank God, I can lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help. And I understand my help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And thank God he never sleeps and he never slumbers, you see. Everything's okay in my Father's house. Woo! I said everything's okay in my Father's house. Amen. Amen. It's all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. You say they may come out, boy, they drag you out and kill you. It'll be all right. Thank God you're going to threaten me with death. Send me right into the presence of God. Amen. It'll be all right. Brother, we're just pilgrims and strangers here anyhow. It's just a short trip through the... Oh, hallelujah. It's just a short trip through here. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Hallelujah. It's not to be wept or mourned over. Thank God we're going home. Hallelujah. This ain't my home. This ain't my home. Ain't your home if you're saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to read the rest of these verses. Listen to them. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Amen. But it didn't stop there. It is of the Lord's mercies. He didn't say nothing about what we've merited.
He didn't say anything about, well, you deserve it. You've earned it. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. We have a merciful God. Hallelujah. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. Didn't stop there. He said, in fact, I'd just like to let you know, every day, for your head ever comes off the pillow, God's already sending new mercies. Amen. Because his compassion is fed up. It's, hey, he said they are new every morning. But then he didn't stop there. Praise God. Praise God. He didn't stop there. Hallelujah to God. This is what he said. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great, great, great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Woo! I said hallelujah to God. Great is thy faithfulness. Every day he's seeing to it that many you are taken care of. Amen. You won't have to get up tomorrow and wonder whether or not he's watching over you. You won't have to worry about tomorrow morning when you arise whether or not his eye is on you. He's done fixed his love on you. He done set his signet of love on you. Amen. Thank God this evening. But I'm telling you now, his compassion is undeniable. When Jesus saw them, the large multitude in Matthew chapter number 9, and he had compassion, he was moved with compassion toward them. And the Bible tells us why. But when he saw the multitudes, I was trying to tell those people there at the funeral day, I said, his heart yearns. I didn't do good right there. His heart yearns to save sinners. Still, we still didn't get it. I ain't trying to work nothing up. I just don't know if we're getting it. I don't know if I ain't doing a good enough job. His heart yearns. He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. I said, hallelujah. He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. Hallelujah. I guarantee you. He yearns to save you tonight. Oh, he delights in the prayer of the upright. Can you imagine that? Takes delight in it. It's amazing, ain't it? My soul in the morning. Then when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. The word mood means to yearn in the bowels. It means to be sympathetic. But when he was moved, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There's three things, the reason he had compassion on them. They was weary and they was wandering. And I'm telling you, beloved, they was in want.
That's right.
Now, let me help you right here. I said, as in want, right?
Right.
Well, what are you going to do with Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, right off the bat. Right out of the gate. First thing he's got to say after he made a declaration about who his shepherd was, very next thing he says, I shall not want.
Right.
I mean, he could have said a lot of things right there.
Yes.
But I shall not want.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. His compassion is undeniable. His cross is unlimited. I done quoted to you from 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And he'd have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth.
Yep.
It don't matter if you're poor or prosperous. Don't matter if you're smart or simple. Don't matter if you're black or white, male or female, adult or child, Jew or Gentile. Jesus come to die and give you life.
Amen.
Amen. That's pretty simple, ain't it? You know what I've tried to do, preacher? I try to make it simple.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to complicate this thing.
Sir.
I don't want to complicate it. I just want to tell you tonight, if you're lost, he can save you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you tonight, if you're lost and you get saved, you're going to be a new creature in Christ.
Yeah.
I want to tell you tonight, if you get saved and become a new creature in Christ, all at the same moment, he's going to make you a partaker of his divine nature.
Yeah.
According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4.
Yeah.
Partakers of his divine nature.
Yes, sir.
According to Ephesians chapter number 1, he's going to seal us with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's pretty good. Romans, book of Romans tells us we're going to receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, I was able to pray before I understand, before I memorized any verse, I was able to pray. Amen. Hey, I said hallelujah to God. You don't have to be a theologian, thank God, to get prayers answered. Amen. You're his child. Hallelujah. You've got access. The veil has been rent, and there's access for every one of us tonight. You're saved. You can pray. Hallelujah. Amen. You can see them answered too. I got saved before mama and daddy. And I said, you know, I'm not going to hell because of our family history. I got saved in April. Got to praying for my mom and dad and them old timers at that church I got saved in. They said, this is what you need to do, young man. They said, we pray here on Tuesday nights. You need to be here. Right. Well, I thought, praise God, if you're saved, you ought to pray. Yeah. Somebody ought to help me out right there. Yeah. So I started going Tuesday night prayer. Right. Then somebody come up and said, hey, we pray the first Friday night from 7 to 7 through the night. You can sign up and get you an hour of prayer.
Yeah.
And them fellas, you know, the same fellas told me, said, need to put your name on that list, young man. Get up here and get to praying. And God pity you when you have a prayer. Oh, I got to say that, boy, it's probably going to kill it right here. But God pity you. Now, if you say you're a preacher, you won't show up for prayer meeting. Amen. Brother Blue, Brother Stennett had a young man with him years ago, and he said, Brother Blue, I feel like I'm called to go to the mission field. And he told him a country, and Brother Blue said, well, let me ask you this, young man. Do you go on visitation on Saturdays with your pastor? He said, never do. He said, you ain't going to go over there either. Amen. So you better get back to exalt the Lord. What I got to do is mind the Lord. I got to mind the Lord. Amen. Amen. But I tell you, preachers ought to pray. One preacher said years ago, we need more frontliners and less whiners. And I'm telling you, that's the truth, brother. We need somebody to intercede in prayer. We need somebody to get a hold of God. We need somebody to ring the prayer bells again and watch God's hand move through our communities and through our lost loved ones' family. They said, you better get to praying for that mom and dad. You better get to praying for your family. It wasn't long until God reeled mama in. Went long, she was 56, got saved. And it went long. The next mama got saved one Wednesday, and the next Wednesday, God reeled daddy in. Amen. Hey, you get saved tonight, you can make a great difference in your family. You can be the difference maker. I was the baby out of six. I don't take no credit for it. I'm just telling you, God answered my prayer. I ain't saying it wasn't somebody else out there praying, but I know one thing, brother. He answered mine. Amen. I'm a firm believer in that. Hallelujah. Amen. But I tell you this evening, thank God, we can pray. And God's going to change your life. The change will be undeniable. He don't leave you like he found you. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit and fuss with you and argue with you. I understand, you know, there's positional sanctification. There's personal sanctification. There's progressive sanctification. That's where we grow. That's growing in the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you say you're saved and you're still cussing,
go ahead.
And you're still drinking, and you're still watching filth, come on now. Amen. And stealing. Amen. You better check up, neighbor. Amen. I can't sin and get away with it. And I'd say, and it sounds like most of y'all can't sin and get away with it. When you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost wear you out.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah. He'll wear you out.
Amen.
Thank God tonight. Hallelujah. Let me give you this last, and I'm going to get out of the way. His converts should never be unthankful. You know, he said earlier in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. If you want to do one thing, if you can mark it down as the will of God, you can give thanks in everything. He said over here in Philippians chapter number 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He said, let your moderation be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he said, be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious, and all this anxiety piling in on you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? That's what it says.
Yes, sir, brother.
Then he told us what to think on right after that. Things are pure, honest, lovely, just, good report. There be virtue, there being praise. He said you need to think on these things. Can I say it again? Don't sit and think about what Fox is telling you.
Amen.
Therefore I recall this to mind, therefore I have hope.
Yeah.
Amen. If I watch that long enough, I'm going to give up on hope.
Right.
And find myself discouraged and down in the mouth and down in the dumps and everything else. But I tell you, friend, tonight, thank God we're saved and we're on the winning side.
Yeah.
Somebody said, it looks like church is going down. No, the church is going up. You've heard that all your life. Church is going up. Hallelujah. Well, bless his name.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, his converts should never be unthankful. Psalm 107. Let's turn over there just for a moment. I'm going to close right here. Psalm 107. The Bible said this. Psalm 107. Boy, what a psalm. Great, tremendous picture of salvation in a lot of ways. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He told us why we ought to give thanks. He's inherently good. He cannot do anything but be good. He is inherently, he can be nothing but good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. There's that mercy hanging around again. And then at Psalm 23, at the end of it, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I mean, there's been times I felt like quitting. Somebody just ought to well say amen. You've probably been there for it. Then you turn around and you got the shepherd out there leading you, and you turn around, and there's goodness and mercy bringing up the rear. Amen. I mean, you think about getting out of this thing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Do you know you're being followed? Do you know you're being followed? Amen. I don't know if some of you ever get that. It's good. Praise God. You're being followed. It's all right. It's a good thing. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All right. I'm going to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he had a hold on us, and I'm telling you, he wanted to hurt us, but God got us out of there, didn't he? And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. That word wandered means to reel or to stray out of the way or to pant, to be out of breath. That's where, I mean, hanging on by a thread.
Praise God.
You say, why would you mention that? Because I'm trying to tell you now, there's a way out. There's a way out. And you can barely breathe. You feel like you're about to suffocate. But there is a way out. And he said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. That word solitary means a desolation or a desert place. You know what it's like over there in 2 Samuel? Mephibosheth down over there in the land of Lodabar.
Amen.
Pastorless place, desert place. Amen. Boy, he got an invitation, didn't he, brother? Praise God. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Us preachers, a lot of times we'll preach against crying out unto them. We'll preach against crying out in your troubles. You ought to be crying out anyways. But I am glad to announce tonight, when you do have troubles, you can cry out and God will hear. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and the Lord heard me. Amen. Oh, yeah. Listen, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. And this is what he done. He went to work, and he led them forth by the right way. So he don't lead us into sin. If they might go to a city of habitation, and here he comes. He gives this several times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You know what it means, that word satisfieth? It means to feel. Listen to this. It means to have enough. It means to have plenty of. I can't get no more of God, and what he wants is more of me. He wants me to surrender every avenue of my life to him. But I got all of God I'm going to get. And I'm going to tell you this, he does satisfy me. He does satisfy me to fill or have enough. And he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That word filleth, malal in the Hebrew, it means full, it means to accomplish, it means to overflow.
What about that?
Brother, I'm back on Psalm 23.
Yeah.
My cup runneth over. If you look at Psalm 23, I don't think David's sad that he made the decision to turn to God as his Savior. Do you? All right. Goodness. You know what that word means? For he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Tob in the Hebrew. I hope that don't bother you. You know, that makes a preacher look like he's real smart, don't it? Amen. You laugh right there. Tob. It means the good. Listen. I'm going to stay with me. You'll appreciate it when I tell you what it means. I like these Hebrew word pictures. The word goodness here means the good. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness, the good. He filleth the hungry soul with his best. Good night. If I give you my best, you may say, I ain't that impressed. Somebody else may come along and give you their best. You say, big deal. But we're talking about the best from the hand of our Creator. The best. It means sweet. It means precious. It means bountiful. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness, with the good, with the best, with the sweet. There's enough bitter experiences in life. I thank God for the sweetness he gives. Amen. I'm telling you, you'll never regret getting saved if you'll turn to Christ. I'll give you this illustration. Let me read the verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Instead of doing their own thing. Every man that done that which was right in his own eyes. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You may have heard this, and if you have, you're going to have to hear it again. D.L. Moody was preaching years ago in a city.
Yeah, brother.
And there was a young man got under conviction during that meeting. Meeting's over. Moody's boarded the train, and it's a pulling out. And the young man, still under distress of soul, about his where he's at with God, still longing to, he's wanting to be saved. He wants to be saved. There's a longing there. And he knows he's empty. And he runs, if I read it correctly and remember it right, the wheels are about to start churning. The smoke's about to start boiling. And he sees Mr. Moody sitting by the window. And he says, Mr. Moody, he hollered at him, Mr. Moody, how can I be saved?
Yeah.
And Moody looked, and he said, young man, he said, go to Isaiah 53.